Winter is about a month away here in Wisconsin. As the seasons change, concerns for road safety also arise. As driving conditions worsen, defensive driving can be the key to saving lives. That's especially true for young people because auto crashes are the number one killer of teens in the country.
The Wisconsin public health nonprofit Safe Communities offers a defensive driving course called Alive at 25, working with local governments. It's geared towards young people, but the lessons apply to anyone looking to improve road safety. Here with us to give a brief course in defensive driving are Kathy Hansen and Randy Weisinger. Kathy is the Alive at 25 instructor and retired police chief from the Lake Mills Police Department. Randy is a Dane County Sheriff's deputy. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Randy, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Well, Randy, as we head into winter, what safety concerns arise?
Well, we get kind of complacent throughout the summer months, spring, summer, and fall, when the road conditions are generally good, and we get very distracted. We are multitasking a lot, regardless of the age, whether it's new drivers or anybody for that matter, and so that becomes a pretty big concern as we enter into a season where the road conditions can be unpredictable.
And Kathy, Alive at 25 is geared toward teen drivers who have this higher accident and death rate. But do the lessons apply to anyone here?
Yeah, the lessons apply to anyone, but the Alive at 25 focuses on the age group of 16 to 25.
And what are some of the takeaways that we should be thinking about?
Well, for the class, we're teaching them, you know, responsibility, that they're responsible for their actions, the control, you know, they have control over their vehicle, what happens in the vehicle. We deal with the distractions, you know, don't be distracted because you never know what's going to happen in that other car.
Randy, what are some of the main driving hazards to be aware of on the road in any season?
Well, a lot of times people are, you know, afraid that they can't really control the actions of other drivers around them. But in reality, we're in control of our vehicle and our safety margin around us, whether that means increasing the following distance, decreasing your speed. During periods of weather that unpredictable road conditions, it allows you more time to react. And then, of course, not being distracted and doing anything else.
So is a big part of this, Kathy, as you're driving your vehicle, to try to really take in what's around you.
Yes, driving really it's multitasking because, you know, you're driving your vehicle, but you're also watching everything that's going on around you. You're watching the other vehicles, you know, for anything to happen. So I think I answered it.
And, Kathy, what are the pillars of defensive driving?
What are the pillars? I don't know.
What about you, Randy?
Well, again, being in control of your actions, monitoring your speed, being able to look far enough in front of your vehicle so you can react properly. And a lot of people, you know, think that maybe 2 to 4 seconds in front of their vehicle is a long ways to be looking. In defensive driving, we talk 4 seconds is an absolute minimum that you should be scanning, and not just in front of you, but around you, including behind you.
Now, a lot of us think of traffic accidents as the ultimate and sort of a lightning bolt out of the blue, the thing you don't really have any control over. Are we right in thinking about it that way?
Well, we don't call them accidents, and we don't call them accidents for a reason. They're called traffic crashes. If we use the word accident, that means that it happened by accident. And in fact, traffic crashes happen because there is a driver error. Almost every single crash happens because somebody made a mistake. It could be the other driver. But if you drive defensively and keep, you know, your surroundings visible to you, you can often avoid that crash. But it's not an accident.
So how do you prepare for that moment, that large traffic that might be around you? Or what did you call it instead of an accident?
Crash.
A crash. How do you prepare for that?
Well, again, for like Live at 25, we recommend that people take classes like that. You know, driver training when you're 16 or 15 and a half is the bare minimum because that's what's required by the law to get your license. But that's not where it should stop. There's a lot more classes out there, driver education opportunities out there to improve your driving habits, including your mental capacity of driving down the road.
And Kathy, there's a lot of gadgetry in cars these days. You know, the radio has been around for a long time, but there'll also be people sitting next to you. Presumably they may want to talk to you. There are cell phones in the car. What advice do you have for navigating some of the in-car distractions, especially, I suppose, cell phones?
Well, for an at the Alive at 25, what I emphasize is, you know, they have control of the vehicle, they have control of the people in the vehicle, and they should make rules. You know, you don't answer your phone. You designate you're the one that can touch the radio so that, you know, people aren't distracting them. And I emphasize, you know, you're responsible. You know, parents are expecting you to get, you know, their child to wherever you're going and back safely. So you need to focus on your driving. And we do a lot of scenarios to get them thinking about different things that could happen on the road.
And what's an example of something that you could sort of workshop, maybe if you're a parent with a teenager, and play it out ahead of time?
Oh, it's, you know, and the kids do like joyriding. They'll use that. Somebody asked me to do this, or somebody will ask me to, let's see how fast your car can go. And I was like, you need to think about it. You know, and I tell them, look at the positives and the negatives. What, you know, if you did it, what positive things would come out of there? Is there any positives? And then what are the negatives and what are the consequences? And try to get them to think of that. What if I do this, what could happen? What, you know, go either way.
And so, Randy, have you seen this work, this kind of thing, playing out some of these scenarios ahead of time?
Well, I think it does, and I think that over the years we have we've certainly gone a long ways in educating our youth as to the hazards of drinking and driving, and the fact that even as they become of legal drinking age, it's not uncommon for us in law enforcement to stop a vehicle in which the driver is sober and the occupants are drinking, and that's a good thing that we didn't see many years ago. You know, to follow up on what parents can do, really would help a lot if parents would consider driving a privilege and not a right, because that's what we try to teach young people. To have a driver's license is a privilege. It's not a right. As a parent myself, I know that it becomes extremely convenient when my kids get old enough that they can drive themselves to and from places. But if they abuse that privilege, it will be taken away.
Something they have to earn.
That's correct.
Do you think most parents think of it that way, or do you think most parents, you know, it's a rite of passage in America. Your kid turns 16, they pass a course, you know, you give them their wheels.
Well, I'm not sure. Based on driving records that I see of the people that I have contact with, the number of times they've either been in crashes or received citations, and the fact that their parents are still paying for a car for them, I'm not sure that the parents get it.
I don't think parents realize that they can pull a driver's license. They can pull it from them.
I suppose the kids don't like that, but it does send a message.
It does send a message, yeah.
For sure. Now, in terms of aggressive drivers, that's something that everybody encounters on the road at one time or the other, no matter where you are. What advice do both of you have for dealing with aggression on the road? Randy, we'll start with you.
Well, I guess it depends on which side of that aggression you're on. You know, I look for and deal with the people that are the aggressive drivers themselves. And it's not always that the person is aggressive. It's that usually they're late. Usually they're doing more than one thing. They have way too many things on their plate and on their schedule, and they just simply don't have time for this thing that we call traffic safety or traffic laws. And that's what leads to what we visualize in the public as aggressive driving.
And Kathy?
You need patience. I mean, because we are a fast-paced world, and I really emphasize patience. Sometimes, you know, say no, that you can't keep doing everything. You can't keep running like that. The other thing, I mean, sometimes, you know, just go at a slower pace and get so your adrenaline slows down.
And that is just part of it, right? You get someone who's on your tail. Maybe you've got children in the car. You may get angry yourself in response. What advice do you have for people about keeping their cool when they're on the road, Randy?
Well, you know, to build off of that, if you allow enough time in your schedule so that you don't, number one, don't have to necessarily drive the speed limit to get there because you only have one extra minute, you can actually make a turn, turn off that road, turn around, get back on that road, and that aggressive driver that was behind you is now gone. And that's something very proactively that you can do. It's very easy to do, and then it takes you out of that situation. Unfortunately, the majority of us don't allow that kind of time in our schedule, so we don't have that ability to turn off the road and wait for that aggressive driver to leave. So we feel compelled to stay in front of them, and then we become part of the problem.
And should you call the police if you see someone driving like that? Should police respond and, I don't know, like to hear about unsafe drivers?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, there's not enough of us, and we're not usually in the right place at the right time, but sometimes we are. And so, absolutely, if they witness something like that, they should call 911, report as much information, but they still need to take care of their safety. And if that means detouring off that route and getting rid of that driver so that they go a different direction, that's what they should do.
Great. Well, thank you both for joining us. Randy, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Kathy, thank you to you as well.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Kathy Hansen, a Live at 25 instructor and retired police chief from the Lake Mills Police Department, and Randy Weisinger, Dane County Sheriff's Deputy.